Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
Don't we have something to celebrate today? It really is Good Friday, isn't it? The focus is the cross, but we've read the story. We're part of it. Like, this is awesome. And not just that. Today we're in church. Today we're honoring our King. Today we're here to say it wasn't for nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? You just need to pinch yourself a little bit, because mark this day, mark this hour. You are actually walking in history today. Did you know that? Today is our very first Good Friday service for Highway Gilston. The very, very first one, and you get to be in the room. Like, that's exciting. I feel excited about that. And you know what else I feel excited about? I have my son and my grandchildren in the house. And it is an honor to have family in the house. And I love you guys. I really love it when my grandkids come to church. So welcome, Andrew. And I'd like you to take your seats, because we're going to come around the word. Thank you, team. I know they're going to come back soon, but that was awesome. I've spent the week at the cross, and I've actually cried a lot. I've been a Christian for nearly 50 years. I love Jesus, but I don't know what happened this week. Excuse my tears. I was so aware of His grace that He died for me. He died for me. And you know what? 50 years loving Jesus, it's never, never got boring or familiar. And this week, as I went around the cross and I looked at what happened to Jesus, and I looked at what He did and how He suffered for me, and I just thought, how could we not be so grateful? How could we not turn up on Good Friday to celebrate His sacrifice? How could we not stand in here and give Him all praise and all honor? How could we not cry and shout out for His goodness? Like, really? And it's been a good week for me, because I needed to do that. You see, have we got my little sign up there? I have called my message today, the signpost home. It's coming. It is coming. And I don't know about you, but I'm not good on directions. And if you've ever done hiking, you know that signposts are really important, especially in the bush. And you look out for those signposts, because they keep you on track and they help you get to your destination. And I love, too, that in my car, I have car Apple Play. Now, if I want to go somewhere, I just type the numbers in, where it's going, and then I just trust and follow. Like, awesome. It has led me astray, I will tell you that. But one thing it has never, ever done is when I have pressed my little home icon in my Apple Google Maps, guess what? No matter where I am, it always gets me the fastest route home. It always finds myself back where I belong. And you know what I reckon? I reckon today that's what the cross is. I reckon the cross, if you would keep your eye on the cross, you will find your way home. You see, we were always meant to live in His house, in His presence. We were meant to live in the Garden of Eden, the place of delight, the place where there was fullness of joy, because God and man walked together. And 2,000 years on that cross, Jesus became our Google Maps home. You see, He also left us the Holy Spirit that David just mentioned. And He is like the supercharged Google Map. And He will always lead you back to the Father's arms if you ask Him and if you get lost. And if you're here today and you're like lost, I'm telling you what, I'm going to give you some way home today. You see, Highway's theme over Easter is homecoming. Have you ever thought what homecoming is? Because I'm actually South African, but, well, I would say I'm South African, I'm Kiwi, and I'm Australian. I'm a Moggy. I love Australia. But one thing that I have learned is that in America, they have these big homecoming, and I have no idea what that is, except that when the word homecoming, I looked it up. I'm like, well, what does that mean? And it actually means coming home. Simple. It actually means welcome back. You see, I really believe that we're in a season where God is calling many back home, back into his presence, back into the house of God, back into relationship with him. And my prayer for you today is if you're feeling lost, that today you're going to have a spiritual GPS and you're going to find home today. You see, everything on that cross, it shouts how the Father longs to reconcile his sons and daughters back to him. Everything about it. And just like parents, you know, my son Andrew and his family live in the Sunshine Coast. And they came down last night. And there's just something about parents when your kids come home. Cat's home today. Yes, there's something about it when our kids come home. It brings so much joy. And you know what? The Father is no different. He says, when you come home, he celebrates too. Isn't that good, hey? And I believe Jesus on the cross was his signpost. It was a signpost that we would find our way home. I love it. So our text this morning, if you've got your Bible, Luke 23, 32 to 43, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the background is Jesus has just been sentenced to be crucified. And there were two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they'd come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription was also written, thank you. Now I've lost my place. An inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then, are you listening up? Then, one of the criminals who was hanging blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But, don't you love the buts? But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I'm just going to read a little bit from the Passion Bible because at the end there, it's easy to understand. It was now only midday, yet the whole world became dark for 3 hours as the light of the sun faded. And suddenly in the temple, the thick veil hanging in the holy place was ripped in two. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, I surrender my spirit into your hands. And he took his last breath and died. And when the Roman captain overseeing the crucifixion witnessed all that took place, he was awestruck and glorified God, acknowledging what they had done. He said, I have no doubt we just killed the righteous one. Father, I just honor your word today. I pray our hearts would be open. Holy Spirit, breathe upon it and teach us what we need to know. We're leaning in, Father, to hear your message of hope today. Thank you, Father. How kind was Jesus? Even in his worst moment, the time of suffering, he responded to a lost sinner. Wow. You see, I believe Jesus will always respond when you reach for him. And I have a modern day story for you. It might show you my age. But, you know, when I heard that I was on this Friday and I heard the title was Homecoming, two things came into my mind. One was the two criminals on the cross. And the second thing was a song. He gives me songs. I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing it today. But the song he gave me is called Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree If You Still Love Me. Anyone else know that song? Okay. Yeah. It was over and over and over in my head. I'm like, where does that come from? It's not like it's a top hits or anything. And I felt God was actually speaking a message to me with that. And you see, it's based on a Regis Digest story about going home. It makes sense now, doesn't it? You see, it was about a soldier coming home from prison in the Civil War. And so in preparation of coming home, he wrote his family a letter. You see, when you've been in prison and when you've done stuff that you're not thrilled about, there's a lot of shame and there's no expectation that you'd be welcome back. And so he wanted to make sure that they still loved him and wanted him to come home despite all that he had done. And this is what he wrote. He says, I'm going to be coming home on a bus, but if I shouldn't stay on the bus, would you give me a sign? a sign that I can see as I enter our hometown. He said, would you tie a yellow ribbon on the big oak tree outside town? And then if I see the yellow ribbon, I will know if I should get off or not. But I'll understand that you may have found that it's too hard what I've done to forgive. It's been 3 years. And you see, he was so distraught that when he got on that bus, he could not bear to look. So he told the other people on the bus, he said, would you look for me? He said to the bus driver, would you look for on my behalf? And when they got to the big oak tree, everybody started to yell and scream. And he looked out the window, and it wasn't just covered with one yellow ribbon. It was covered with 100 yellow ribbons. You see, they shouted, welcome home. Welcome home. We love you and you are forgiven and we welcome you home. And you see, the symbol of a yellow ribbon, I didn't know this, I learned it this week. It became widely known in the 1970s as a reminder that an absent loved one, either in the military or in jail, would be welcomed home on their return. The color yellow actually can symbolize home. And often you'll see yellow ribbons tied around trees, lampposts, on doors, as a symbol that the captive has been set free and there's forgiveness awaiting. Even this year, Montana Tucker at the Grammys, she wore a yellow ribbon to signify for her support of the hot hostages coming home. You see, in this story, the man was forgiven and welcomed back into his family. But that's the same story on the cross. You see, Jesus came to take the keys of death and hell. And he came to bring those keys back to you and I and say, you have a key to my house. You get to enter in. And you see, this man, there was nothing that he could do to earn his way home. But he was still welcomed and he was still forgiven. And I believe that Jesus placed 100 yellow ribbons for us to see throughout the biblical narrative. If you read the word, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And God was with him. He left signposts wherever he went. He healed the sick. He set the demonized free. He set the captives free. He opened prison doors and he forgave the sinner. There's so much hope this Good Friday for you and I. It's not whether you deserve it or you're worthy. It's a free gift to anyone who receives it. You see, you can't earn your way into his house. You just have to receive it. Ephesians tells us that it's by grace that you've been saved, by faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God that he gives us freely. And he says, and by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven, David read this out this morning, everything in heaven is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. You see, Jesus didn't just do incredible things. He also painted word pictures, because I don't know if you're like me, I learn in different ways. Sometimes I can read, other times I need to listen, other times I need to watch. And Jesus would sit down with people and he would start to tell stories and he'd tell parables. And I believe every time he did this, he was placing a yellow ribbon on the tree, saying, hey, listen up. See, he said there was a man, there was a shepherd. He had 100 lambs. And one little lamb, and just imagine Jesus telling them, one little lamb got lost and was far away. And so the shepherd went into the wilderness he left all his 99 and he went into the wilderness to seek just the one lost lamb, because to him, the one lost lamb was so valuable. And when he found that lost lamb, he put him on his shoulders and he carried him home. And then he said to his neighbors, come and have a party with me, because what was lost is now found. And he delighted in the one lost lamb that came home. You see, Jesus came to lead us home. He is the good shepherd. If you keep your eyes on him and you keep following him, you will find home. And then he also told another parable. And this one was about a son who had everything he ever wanted. But you know what? He wasn't happy. So you know what he did? He decided to leave home. He decided to tell his dad, hey, I want all your money. Whatever I'll get if you died, pass it over. His dad handed it to him. He went on his merry way. And he squandered all his money. He did everything what he thought he wanted and thought he was going to give him joy in life. And then he found out that the things that he thought were going to make him happy didn't. and he found himself in a pig pen. And when he got the pig pen, he remembered home. You see, he remembered that even his father's servants had food in his house. He said, I'll just go home and be the servant. But you know what? His father, he'd had a yellow ribbon out there waiting. He'd been feeding a fatted calf. My son's going to come home. I'm feeding it, feeding it. They say that a fatted calf took months and a long time to get fat. His faith was, my son's not lost. He's going to come home. And as his son was a far way off, the father saw him coming and he opened his arms wide and said, welcome home. Here's the yellow ribbons. Actually, no. 100 yellow ribbons for you, son. And he placed on his shoulder robes and ring and shoes, and he put them right back. And, you know, as David preached the other day, and he said the older brother, he was not impressed, and he saw there was a party because the father had a celebration for the son coming home. And the older brother said to his servant, what is this? And this is what the servant said, Luke 15, it's your younger brother. He's returned home, and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming. He was lost, but now he's found. And if your life feels messed up today, the Father's arms are wide open for you today. He says, I'm just waiting for you to come home. And then we have the criminal that we just read in Luke. Okay, he's on the cross, and I just see Jesus like he says, I'm not finished with those yellow ribbons yet. I'm just going to do another one, and I'm going to give you another picture because you might start thinking, I'm not worthy. I've made too many mistakes. I can't get into heaven. He says, so I'm going to give you a picture of my final moments on this earth. And there was a criminal. He was destined to die in his sin, and yet Jesus comes and points to this grace-filled Savior. This grace-filled Savior, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I will be the sacrifice that whoever believes in me will not perish but will have eternal life. He said, I will lay down my life freely and willingly. He was not taken. He didn't go to the cross because they made him. He went as a willing lamb for you and for me. And you see, everything in that moment, it was building where he would tie the greatest yellow ribbon man or history has ever seen, and would be seen through his sacrifice on the cross, a type of yellow ribbon that will never be taken off in all the ages. When we're long in God, the cross will still shout, welcome home to any sinner, anyone who believes in him. You see, the criminal was guilty. He had been tried, proven, condemned. They said that, commentaries say that the only ones that died at crucifixion were the most heinous crimes that had been committed and the worst criminals. And so he had shackles on that he brought on his own. He'd lived a bad life. And here he was being condemned, and rightly so. And yet Jesus shows him and to us that salvation cannot be earned. It's not about what you do. All through our lives, you see, I know this because I've been in church a long time. Religion tells you, you're not enough. You're not good enough. And Jesus says, hang on, just stop right there. I will do the work. I will pay the price. And I love that Kay a few weeks ago in Brave, she said that the blood of Jesus is the currency of heaven. You see, Jesus came to pay our debt, yours and mine. This is why I can't sing quietly. Okay, because I've been rescued. I've been forgiven. I should have been on that cross. So should you. So should you. Okay, and Andrew, my son, told me a story recently. I don't know if you know the scripture, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And all have fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. There's not one of us that is righteous. And here I remember him telling me a story that I had read but I'd forgotten. And it was the Nicky Gumbel story in his Bible in 1 year. And it tells a story about a man that's found guilty in a court of law. And his friend was the judge. And he had no choice but to pronounce him guilty as his friend, knowing that there was evidence stacked against him. And so this man was given a charge of guilty. And he was charged to pay a hefty fine. And this man had no way of paying his debt. And so the judge got down off his high chair after the sentence has been given. And this man with his head low, he gets off his chair, the judge, takes off all his judge gear, gets out his checkbook and he writes a check for the fine that man owed. And he set him free. That man walked free. And you see, this is what Jesus has done for you and I today. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." In the Hebrew, that is a word that, actually Pastor David taught us this, that it's actually in Hebrew, it's called tetelestai. Did I say that right? Tetelestai. And you know what it means? Paid in full. There's another yellow ribbon. Do you like that? Redemption. And what is it? The act of buying something back, redeeming something. It carried the meaning of freeing someone from chains, prison, or slavery. Jesus gave his life for the criminal, for the prisoner, for the one that keeps failing, for the one that says, "I wish I could do it better." He said, "I gave my life for you." And it was a hefty sum. He paid a huge price. You see, Ephesians 2 said it wasn't, this is in the message, and boy, it hit me in the face. I'm like, yep, this is us. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin, yet you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living well, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a lot of us. Isn't that typical of the Message Bible? But he says, instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us, he took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. And then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. And even though, David said this morning, we were distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, through the sacrifice of his own body as a sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now, there is nothing between you and the Father, for God sees you as holy and flawless, restored. You see, the moment that criminal said, "Jesus, would you remember me?" The moment he turned his face, what did Jesus do? Jesus welcomed up him and he gave him a clean slate and he said, "I'm going to cancel out every legal violation on your record. I'm going to take the old arrest warrant and I'm going to take it away and I'm going to nail it to the cross and I'm going to erase all your sins." This is such good news, church. Everything he did, he nailed to that cross. And then he said, "Now listen, and now we are as brothers and sisters in God's family." Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. He welcomes us right into the holy, most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and with no hesitation, for he has dedicated a new life, giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, do you know that it was from top down, heaven down? No man could have torn that. Heaven down. Just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. Isn't that awesome? We come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. Isn't that good news, church? Isn't that good news? And Jesus responds to him. So what does he say? "Assuredly, today, you will be with me in paradise." How cool is that? Do you know that that word paradise in the Greek, that word is garden. Today, I gave you access back to the garden. You get to come in and have relationship with me. And guess what? With nothing you did. I did everything for you. All you, your part is, thank you, Jesus. And what I've noticed in my life is that we get it wrong. We make mistakes. We do things we wish we hadn't. And what we forget is we forget to see the signpost. When you lose your way, what do? You look for the signpost. What is it going to do? Put you back on track. I look for the signpost and I head towards that signpost. I get on my knees and I say, "Jesus, would you forgive me? I know you died for this moment. I know you died that I wouldn't have to stay stuck in all my mistakes and all the burdens of guilt and the things and shame that we carry." He says, "Follow the cross, because here's the brightest yellow ribbon you've ever seen. And that's a way home. You don't have to stay far from God. You just have to keep getting to the cross." You see, there were three men that day on the cross, and three were about to lose their life. Two were being punished for their crimes, and they deserved it. And one, he was about to die. But he knew his destination. You see, he knew that he was about to be at home with his father. His destination was settled. But the other two, they were at a crossroad. They were like in a critical moment. And I believe we're in a critical moment. Church, would you listen up? If you are in this house today, this is a word from heaven. You are in a critical moment. Be very careful in a critical and significant moment what choice you choose, because the kindness of God gives you a free choice. He doesn't force you to go down his way. You see, what happened next would change the eternal destination. Don't lose sight of eternity. It matters how you live here. It matters. Every one of us will find ourselves in the place of Calvary where God gives us an opportunity. Will you believe me? Will I be your Savior? Will I be your Lord or not? I remember I had my own moment in my life where I knew that if I died that day, I was not reconciled with God for my sin. And I remember to this day as clear as anything. And I remember the tears of knowing what it was to be rescued when I felt the peace of God. And I was only a young girl, but I remember feeling, I need a Savior. I need to be rescued. I remember feeling the weight of my sin. And I asked Jesus, would you take my sin? Would you come and live in my life? And I remember from that moment on, I lived different. You see, what you choose in those moments in life will determine your eternal destination for the next. Both these criminals had no hope of saving themselves. And both of them had an opportunity of being with Christ. There's two roads the Bible tells us that we can live on. One is a narrow road and leads to life. And the other is a wide one and it leads to death. You can only enter God's kingdom through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. And its gates are wide for many who choose that way. And do you know those two criminals on the cross? Do you know the only thing that differentiated them between each other? They were both guilty. The only thing that differentiated them was that one recognized his need for a Savior and the other didn't. John tells us, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, physical impulse, nor of the will of man, but that of a natural father, but of God, that is divine and supernatural birth. They are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed and sanctified, born again. And if you are standing here today and say, gee whiz, I need to be born again. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, I will give them a clean slate. Anyone in this moment, you might have been walking with God all your life and you're like, I'm good. And you're like, actually, no, he feels far away from me today. He feels far. The only thing that separates you from God is your sin. And so we come back to the cross and we say, Jesus, you said anyone, and I'm the anyone. I'm the anyone. And you see, if you're looking for a signpost, for the cross, if you're like, I don't really see all these yellow ribbons that Jesus put out for us. Can I give you a couple, just quickly? A sign was placed above Jesus when he died, and it said, this is the King of the Jews. And Brian Simmons says, the first of each of the four letters written on the sign were in Aramaic, and they were YHWH. This was a Hebrew form of writing the sacred name of Yahweh. Do you know that they wouldn't even say that out loud? It was so sacred. They would go, Yahweh, Yahweh. It was breath. And this was a sign given to Israel. This was their yellow ribbon for all the Pharisees who wanted to kill him. Jesus was still putting out a yellow ribbon saying, listen, look who I am. I'm the Savior of the world. And all they did was got angry and turned their hearts against him. But you see, that sign actually said, God the Savior bled to death for you. Can you imagine why they got so mad? Yeah, the yellow ribbon was blowing, wasn't it? And then when Jesus died, David told us this morning that an earthquake, rocks split open, darkness covered the earth, graves were opened up, resurrection life was received, the veil of the temple was torn in two, and then we had free access into the presence of God. This happened the moment he gave his last breath, and he abolished animal sacrifice. Became the once and for all sacrifice for you and I. See, we need to recognize our need for a Savior. It's so important. You cannot have religion will not get you there. Having scriptures that you can recite will not get you there. It's a deep relationship with Jesus That's all. Accept his free gift this morning. That's it. Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. That signpost is still blowing in the wind. Yellow ribbons everywhere. And you see, if you're in this room today and you've known Jesus for a very long time, and you're like, yep, I get everything you're saying, Claire. Do you know what? The message Jesus had on that cross, he had a baton in his hand. And he said, I've been putting yellow ribbons everywhere. In my whole life that I was born out here, I put yellow ribbons. And now for those who believe, I want you to wear one. All right? I want you to put a yellow ribbon around your arm. And now you're going to become the sign that the world's going to know. Your life, redeemed, transformed, changed. Now you become the sign to your children's children. You become the one who starts to tell your friends, hey, do you see the yellow ribbon? Do you see the yellow ribbon? It tells me that you are welcome home just like I am. It tells me that you can be a son. It tells me the key's not just for the specific few. It's for everyone that would accept the gift. But there might be some changes that need to happen in your life to be that yellow ribbon, because we're supposed to look like Jesus. And I've definitely gone over time, so I'm going to stop there. But I want to challenge you this morning. If you're in this room and it's the first time you've ever come to church, or you've heard the message so many times, but today you feel like I did when I was a young girl, a tugging on your heart. Where Jesus says, I want to make my home with you, Claire. Or I want to make my home with you. I want my home to be in your heart. And if you feel that today, this is your moment. This is your moment. And if there's anyone in this room, can everyone just bow their head? If there's anybody in this room that for today knows that Jesus is knocking on your heart and he's inviting you to come home into his presence. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. If there's anyone here, even if you say, you know what, I feel like I'm the criminal. I know I'm guilty. I've been carrying a deep weight of guilt and sin. I know that Jesus says today, I want to lift that guilt off your shoulders. If there's anyone in this room today, just raise your hand.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.